So if you haven't seen me before, I'm Bob Boschman. I work for SQL Skills as a developer skills partner. And this talk is about full-text search and semantic search in SQL 2012. And so what I'm going to do is go over the full-text search in general really quickly, go over the full-text search new features in 2008 and 2012, because there were some features in both places, and then also go over the semantic search, which is brand new in 2012. So should I do this again? You already know me, right? Okay, and if you don't, the slides, excuse me, the slides have actually been posted up on the ShowNet. So they wouldn't give me an exact URL, but the slides should be up there. So if you ever need my email address or, you know, any entries like that, they're all on the slides. Okay, so there we go. So forget about the outline. Let's just go. So notice I can't stay with a 40-point font, right? It's like there's too much stuff to put on a page. So full-text search is Microsoft's search capability that's built into SQL Server. And full-text search provides the ability to search against documents, character-based data. And you can either use this with character-based columns or XML columns or var binary columns. And if you use var binary, you can actually put different types of documents in the same column. Like you could put a Word document and a PDF file and a, you know, something else in there, and it'll search through all of them. You do have to have a separate column, though, for each row to tell what each row is in terms of document type. And we'll see that when we do some examples. The functionality includes, before 2012, simple terms, prefix terms. It's interesting they do prefix but not suffix. Inflectional terms, words next to other words, ranking documents by relevance, like what's relevant to the search term, and weighted values. And there's two more features. There's a better near argument in 2012, and there's also a property-based argument in 2012, so we'll talk about those. So the full-text search now has support for over 50 languages, and you can look at the full-text languages and see which ones they are. And yes, indeed, they do have support for Dutch and full-text search. I did actually a Dutch demo last year and lost the documents that I was indexing. So not that I did it because of that, but I lost them after the talk. So I'm not going to do that demo over again. For each supported language that you have, there's a component called a word breaker and a component called a stemmer. And a word breaker just constitutes or decides what constitutes a word. So if I have, for example, some compound word, it might break that word into two. Usually, though, word breakers just break words at the end of a sentence or between words because you have a space there. The people that would like word breakers to work differently than they do are German people because of a lot of their compound words. They would like the compound words broken up, but they would also like the compound words put together as one word so they can search for words in the middle of the compound word. The German people always ask me that when I go there to talk about full-text search, and they still haven't done that in full-text search in 2012. The stemmer generates the inflectional forms of the word. So if you have the word run in your document, they'll generate things like running, ran, runner, and, you know, other inflectional forms, and you can search for those. And you can have third-party word breakers and stemmers. If there's languages that they do not support, you can write your own word breaker or you can write your own stemmer. And they do support quite a few languages, though, so you shouldn't have to write your own. In addition to word breaker and stemmer, there is also a thesaurus file. And a thesaurus file, I always can't pronounce that. A thesaurus file is a file that just says which words are equal to which other words. And you can make your thesaurus files as complicated as you want. So let me show you the thesaurus file that I have here. I probably won't use it in the demo. But here's one right here. They're XML files, which you apparently can't see in IE. Lovely. We'll open it with, goodness, how about Microsoft Word? That'd be good enough. Oh, that was fairly useless at all. Okay, so we won't do that. Let's open it. What do we open XML in then? How about we open XML in SQL Server Management Studio? Notepad. Oh, Notepad would be good. Yeah, let's do Notepad. What a smart man. I don't know why. Notepad? Why would I think of Notepad? Okay, we'll make the Notepad big enough so everybody can see it, not just me. So this is a thesaurus file. You get one per language per instance. Most of these things in full-text search are per index. This one is you get one for the entire system and one for each language. And so basically in this case, this is one of the sample ones that come with. If you see Internet Explorer, it's an old one too apparently, Internet Explorer IE or IE5, if you search for any of those, you will get all of the instances of the other one. The second one is a replacement pattern that searches for all the common misspellings of the word Microsoft. So if you type in any of those misspellings, you'll actually get things that match up with Microsoft. Also the common misspellings of Bill Gates, right? So Bill Gate with one L and things like that. So that was what you would put in your thesaurus files. Somebody once asked me if there were thesaurus files for well-known occupations, like lawyer thesaurus files or, you know, something like that. There used to be a company that sold these components, but I haven't been able to find it lately. So if you want a nice customized thesaurus file for your particular purpose, you'd have to program it yourself. And the default thesaurus file for every language contains nothing, right? Just a thesaurus, end of thesaurus, that's it. So you have to start from afresh if you're going to make a new one. And basically, you install these files by just dragging the XML over to the right directory and populating it that way. So I'm not going to say that much more about thesaurus files because they're not new. Besides the thesaurus and the word breaker and the stemmer, there's also what's called stop lists or stop words. And these are words that are supposed to be ignored. So and, the, and, you know, nobody would look for those. So those are actually ignored and they're not even part of the full text index. So in SQL Server 2012, there are new updated word breakers, believe it or not, for English. And so there's an entire thing about what's different about the word breakers in English. They will do things like correctly parse email addresses with at signs in them, which they wouldn't do before. Danish, Polish, and Turkish. And apparently what happens is Microsoft would go out and buy these from third parties. And so rather than rent them or something for each release of SQL Server, they just went out and bought it. They fixed it up a little bit so it was more compliant with their standards, and now it's a Microsoft part of the product. So these word breakers used to be third-party word breakers. Now Microsoft bought them. There's also new word breakers for Czech and Greek. So I thought it would be interesting because of what's going on in the world today to actually see if I could do an interesting Greek demo. So, and again, you have to be really careful when you do demos in languages that you don't understand. So I actually read all of these documents, put them in the translator, and read them in English and so forth. So let me show you my Greek demo that I did over lunchtime just for fun. By the way, you probably wouldn't want to do this for anybody in Greece, especially today, because what I did is I picked out two documents, one about financial crisis and the other one about yachts. And apparently, people that have yachts are not affected by the financial crisis because there are almost no words in common between financial crisis document and yachts document. And in fact, the financial crisis document has all this lovely stuff about the depression and, you know, but the yachts document is very upbeat, of course. So we're going to make a new database called test. Test already exists. That's no fun. We'll drop the database called test and then we'll make it over again. So it happens when you do a demo that you've made up at lunchtime. All right, there we go. I thought that was pretty good, though, to be able to make up a demo at lunchtime. Did you not? It was currently in use. Yeah. Stupid me. All right. There we go. All right, so we'll make up a database called test and use it. And then basically what I'll do here is just create a table. Now, it turned out that these documents also, of course, had Greek titles, so I didn't know the difference. So what I had to do was put yacht before one of them and financial before the other one. So I put that information in the doc title field. And then doc type, I just cut and pasted them into Word documents. And doc is var binary max. So basically, if you have a var binary max, you can search on any type of document, but you have to have another field called doc type to distinguish between what's a PDF file, what's a docx file, and so forth. So this is where my Greek documents are going to go. There we go. And by the way, this becomes much easier when we do file table. We're going to do file table pretty soon. But I'm going to create a full text search catalog and then create a full text search index on the Greek arguments indexed with the Greek word breaker and stemmer. So cool. Okay, we'll have those. I don't have any documents in here, though, yet, so I don't see the point of starting a full population now. We'll get back to that later. What I did is I took two documents, and I copied them in, and I put them on the file system. And so I used the bulk open row set provider to suck them out of the file system and to actually put them into a variable that puts them in a var binary variable, and then inserted those into the table. So there's the first document, and there's the second document. There we go. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if this is supposed to do auto-population. Oh, auto-population is the default, but let's just start population anyway. And basically, you can see if population of the full-text search index is finished if this property is equal to zero. And good, that was fast. It turns out that the full-text search does not populate synchronously with the transaction. In other words, if I put a document in full-text search, the best full-text search can do is update the search text index asynchronously. It never makes it part of the same transaction because it might take forever to update the full-text search index. In fact, I've got a lot of words in those documents, so it probably would have taken a long time. So now what I'm going to use is I'm going to use the contains table verb. Contains table is a way to actually get rankings out. And what I'm going to use is the new near operators. So what I did was I went into Google Translate, and I put in the English word for financial, and it came up with this in Greek. And I put in the word crisis, and it came up with this in Greek. Okay, which I just ruined, so there we go. Who knows what I just made there. Okay, so now what I'm going to do, what this search says is I'm going to use the old near operator to see if I can find documents in which financial is near crisis. And of course, I don't expect to find the yacht document. But I did find the other document. So the financial document actually has the, the financial next to the crisis part of it. However, that's fairly useless because it turns out that the way that this near works, this is the old near, the way that this near works, it pretty much considers any two words in the same document near enough to each other. In fact, they almost always match. This is a fairly huge document, and I'm not sure how near this is. So in SQL Server 2012, I can use the new near, and the new near says I would like to say near. I want this word to be near this word, but within 200 words. And so I actually started at lunchtime, they near two words, are they right next to each other? And actually at 200 words, I still couldn't find any that were near enough to match. So the new near operator is quite an improvement over the old near operator, and I actually had to go to 400 words to see that they were near enough to match. So that's kind of nice. You can also customize these. So remember I had financial first and crisis second, and this true operator right here for near says it's financial crisis, and the word financial has to come before the word crisis. The default is false. They can come in any order. And so, of course, you would expect financial to come before crisis somewhere, and it does here. So there you go. There's a Greek demo with the new near operator, and basically it was something I just corrupted off over lunchtime because I thought it would be cool to show. Cool. I don't have a Czech demo. Right, there's probably a Czech person in the audience that's going, I knew he was going to do that. All right. So we talked about the word breakers and the stemmers and the thesaurus and the stop words. Now, there's also a concept of full-text search filters. And so a full-text search filter is provided for every document type that full-text search supports. And for text documents, there is actually a text filter. If you're going to actually use HTML documents, there's an HTML filter, and it's better to use that one than it is to use the text filter. The reason why it's better to use the HTML filter is because if you use that, they can tell what's markup and what's text. That's what the HTML filter is able to do. So, for example, I had a friend of mine that was working in an anti-discrimination place in the UK, and basically he was looking for the word black. And he was able to find the word black in every document. And it turned out that was because it was part of his style sheet. And I said, you didn't use the HTML filter, did you? And he said, no, we went back and used that, and it's fine. Now we don't find the word black in every document. And it's like, either that or you could change your style sheet, right? So besides the regular type of documents, they also have document filters for pretty much any document that you want. Strangely enough, the Office 2007 filters are installed, even on SQL Server 2012. So you have a filter for doc and XLS and all of the old document concept. So what you have to do in order to get this thing up to date, and I checked, and it's going to be this way at release, is that you have to go download and find the Office 2010 filters, and then you have a filter for docx and XLSX and all those. So if I didn't put those filters in, my docx stuff wouldn't work. I also had some PDF files in there. And so it turned out you can get a PDF iFilter from Adobe. And by the way, the reason they call these iFilters is, in order to make one of these components up, you just have to implement a COM interface called iFilter. Everybody loves COM, though, at this point in history. So we'll see how many new ones of those are coming out. Okay. HTML and XML iFilters are included, and third-party filters can be installed. And then basically, if you want to filter over a set of heterogeneous documents that aren't the same iFilter, what you have to do is you have to name the document type, the document suffix, for every row. And so you need a separate suffix column for those. And we'll see those coming up. In fact, we see those now. Let's see if I'm going to see those now or see those coming up. All right, so we got FTS, we got that. And I'm going to wait till we do the property list, I think. Okay, fine. So I just wanted to go over a couple things about administration. I know it's not an administration thing, so I'm going to go over it fairly quickly. Before 2008, SQL 2008, they basically just ran Microsoft Search Server on the system. And when they wanted something to be indexed, they called out to Search Server. And that was kind of bad for a couple of reasons. One was that they had this extra process running. But the other one was that Search Server actually stored its index on the file system rather than a table in SQL Server. And so that was bad because it was a separate backup. It was a big deal to keep track of and, you know, just a pain. So in 2008, they moved all that stuff into internal tables in SQL Server. And by the way, you can actually see the full text index. This is the first part of my... This is how a full text index works thing. So if I go and say select star from sys.internalTables, basically all a full text search index is right now, and since 2005, is really a set of internal tables. They used to call this sys.hidden.tables, but it seemed kind of silly to have a view that was called sys.hidden.tables. Yes, I'd like to see the hidden tables, please. There we go. And when you see the hidden tables, you notice that there's a bunch of them that you could probably guess. Come on, like, there we go. There's a bunch of them that go along with full text search. And so we have the full text search doc ID status, and that keeps track of the status of which documents have been indexed or not. The doc ID filter, which keeps track of if you put a new full text search document in an existing index, it doesn't write over the one that's already there. It doesn't update. Full text search indexes never get updated. So if you put a new one in there, it invalidates the old one and it indexes the new one. So you'll see those a lot. The doc ID filter is the one that takes that knows what that's about. Index doc ID, so there's another internal table. Full text AVDL, that's actually the average data length that is used for some of the calculations. And then IFTS comp fragment number one. And basically, there can be one or many of these fragments for every full text search index. And again, if I went and added another document right now, because it didn't update and that fragment is already done, it would make another fragment for that same index. So if you add documents over time to a full text index, you can get a lot of these fragments. What you have to do to unfragment the full text search index is you run this thing called a master merge. And a master merge will basically take all the fragments and merge them back together again. Now, people have probably seen the internal tables, right? How many people know about internal tables right now? Right? Do you know how many people? So how many people can see inside the internal tables? That's really interesting, right? Because this says internal tables. So suppose I want to see what's in the full text search index fragment. So we'll copy that in there. And the trick that you have to remember about this is all schema number four. So that's the sys schema. If you don't put the word sys, it can't see it at all. And then say select star from that. And you think, well, that'll do it, right? But of course it doesn't. There we go. It says invalid object name for that thing. And it turns out that the only way that you can see the internal tables and the contents of the internal tables, not that you would ever use this except to be curious about what's in there, is to turn on the dedicated admin connection. Remember to do this on your own laptop. Don't upset your admin by doing it. The dedicated admin connection is just a connection that the administrator uses if everybody else is locked out of SQL Server to fix it. And you can only have one dedicated administrator connection at a time. And if you're using the dedicated administrator connection to peer into these indexes and something happens to the system, then the real administrator is going to be really upset. Unless you're the real administrator, right? Okay, so the way to get this is you can actually get this from SQL Server Management Studio. You connect with a special connection string. So my server name is ZMV03 right there. So if I wanted to use the dedicated admin connection, it's just admin colon ZMV03. Now, when I do this, I'm in a database other than master. So when I connect to this, it'll connect up and then say, failure to connect. This is new in 2012 that they say you failed to connect, but you really have connected. If I was to go and use the database that I'm already on, so use test, it's connected. It's just connected to master. And because it got that error, it says that none of this stuff is available. But if I say use test, it sure enough is. There we go. So now I'm back to test. So be really careful with this. This didn't work this way before 2012. And it's based upon the premise, It's based upon the premise that the dedicated admin connection really doesn't auto-switch between databases. And that's what they're trying to tell you with that error. Okay, so now that I'm here, just make sure I'm in the same place I'm at. There we go. Now I can say select from this, and it will actually work. So there. Now I can see what the internal tables are. And so this is looking inside the internal tables of the full-text search index. And so since this is a full-text search index, you could guess what some of these fields mean. So this keyword is actually the keyword in Big Endian in binary, so that's what that's about. Which column it is, because you can have a full-text search index, you get one per table, and you can have a full-text search index that contains the information for more than one column. So you can have the description field, and you can also have the short description field or something, and they can determine what comes from which field. The PID was actually something that's internal to the index, and I forget what it is. It's esoteric. DocID max is based upon the fact that you can have more than one of these rows for the same word. Because if you see down here, these little things over here, comp level 1 and comp level 2, these numbers are actually the offsets into the document where the word occurs. So these can only be so big. They can only be up to, I think, 256 var binary. So if you get over 256, they have to add another row with the same document. So that docid max and docid min thing is, if I have more than one row, which row is it for that specific word? Okay, and that's probably enough about the internals of the index. But notice, once you have this, you can only have one of these, so we'll keep it. You can see inside whatever index you want to see inside of. So that's the way to take this stuff apart. Now, obviously, you don't want to update this yourself. You could conceivably do it. And obviously, you can't use it in a real application because only one person can actually look at this stuff at a time. So it's more for curiosity's sake and to see what the full-text search index is doing. And conceivably, after the book comes out next year, you could use the information in it to troubleshoot the full-text search index if you really want to. Right? I'm not sure I'm going to tell people to do that, but I thought it was kind of interesting and fun. So basically all the full text search stuff as of 2008 is actually in SQL Server. And so what they do is they don't run Microsoft Search Service anymore. They run a service called FD Host. And actually it's not FD Host. It turns out FD Host is the program. There's a service that all it does is launch fthost.exe. And when they want to index something, they launch fthost.exe, and SQL Server communicates to it via shared memory. And why would they do that? Why wouldn't they just index stuff within SQL Server? And they don't want to index stuff within SQL Server because you can have third-party word breakers. And third-party COM components, I don't think I want them in SQL Server. Right? So they have their own process for that just so that it doesn't mess up SQL Server's process. So the FT, basically when a document is inserted, you get the FD host launcher, it fires up, it's going to build the index, and it'll also build the semantic index, and that's where all the word breakers and filters run, the Microsoft ones or the non-Microsoft ones. The searches, however, after 2008, actually run in the SQL Server engine, which makes them much faster. Before 2008, if you did a full-text search, it would make an OLEDB call out to an external process that's running Microsoft Search Server, and it would come back with answers. And now it's actually going to run this all in process, so it turns out to be much faster. So you've seen all this, a lot of this DDL already. Create full-text search catalog. The idea of a full-text search catalog is sort of left over from when it was a file on disk. So the full text search catalog is eventually going to go away. The books online says things like you can designate a file group for your full text catalog. That's wrong now. You can't do that in SQL Server 2012 at all. You can put a file group in and it ignores whichever one you put in. The only thing you can specify for a full text search catalog is who is the owner of it, owned by DBO, and whether or not all the indexes in it are accent sensitive. Accent sensitive is exactly what it sounds like, right? The A with the accent grave is the same as the A without the accent grave. And you can also have a default full text search catalog. Create the full text search index. There's a couple of parameters in this, but the biggest one is the change tracking. So by default, auto change tracking is on, which means every time you add a row to the full text search table, it's going to update the full text search index, or at least make another fragment. You can also have it be manual, where they will keep track of which ones are new, and then when you run a manual population or a manual update, they will manually update them. Some of these features require that you have a timestamp column because they will update the ones that have changed since last time, right? So they'll use a timestamp column to do that. Or you can actually say, if you want to put a bunch of documents in and index it overnight, that it's off and I have no population right now. So in that case, they don't even keep track of what's old and what's new. The only thing that you can do is a full population, and you do that sometime by yourself in the middle of the night. It sounds awful, but... changing rebuilding with alter full text search index, you can do an incremental population, a full population, but there is no online index rebuild. For people that know about online index rebuild and regular indexes, full text search doesn't have that. You can also, it turns out that full text search is an amazing space hog, right? Just to do the full text search, the full text indexing can take up an amazing amount of space and can bring your whole machine to its knees. So basically, you can configure the full text crawl bandwidth and the maximum full text crawl range. And the crawl is just basically when they crawl over it trying to make the full text search index. You can also specify the default full text search language, and then you have to specify the language on every index. So again, full text search is an internal table. And the one that we were looking at is called the inverted index. Because if we go back and look at that again, There it is right there. This is an inverted index because it has the actual keyword itself, and then these things are the hex representation of what document that occurs in. So it's not document, word, it's word occurs in document 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it's inverted, it's backwards, as far as what you would normally think they store. Right? In a normal index, you would store the document ID and then the words inside that document. In this one, you're storing the word and the documents in which it occurs. So the inverted index. By the way, all full text search systems use inverted indexes. Right? There's a public domain one out called Lucerne that people will use. It uses the same concept. In fact, this concept is not new at all. I worked with a full text search indexing system from IBM back in the 1980s called STAIRS. And STAIRS' big claim to fame was that it was the full-text search indexing that IBM used to index their legal documents when they were having the big lawsuit back in the 80s. So it's like, this must be good because we can index millions of documents because we've got all our legal documents in here. It's like, great. That's what I want. Besides the inverted index, there's additional tracking and metadata tables, and there's also a table called DocID Map. As of SQL Server 2008, it is better to have the key of the table with the documents in it be an integer. Before 2008, you didn't have to have a GUID key. You didn't have to have a unique identifier key, but you had to have a unique identifier, and it would index these things by unique identifier. So imagine you're in 2005, you have a GUID column, and basically what those store is the GUIDs, right? Now, there's also a table that actually translates GUIDs to IDs. So they thought, well, what was the point of that? We'll just make the key an integer column, and then we don't need this GUID to ID translation table. And so starting in 2008, make sure you at least have an integer column to be able to index on. And of course, it has to have a unique index. If you don't, and in fact, their new file table feature doesn't do this, you will need a docID map table. And we'll see that in my index that I just made up, there's no docID map. In the one we're doing with file table, there will be. Okay. So integrated backup and restore is an enhancement. Additional performance enhancements in 2008 because they run in process. And in 2012, they actually went out for millions of documents in the document corpus, right? Millions of documents in the thing that they can index at the same time. And I believe they're linearly scale up to 3.5 or 5 million documents in the full text search. So they actually do pretty well. Somebody always says to me, what do you care about full text search anyways? We can put our stuff in Google. Yeah, except that Google requires your stuff be on the web, right? So if you're actually going to put all your company's secret documents in Google, I don't think I would, you know, do that. Maybe there's somebody from Google here that could correct me if that's true. But Google seems to want everything on the web because that pushes their real business, which is advertisements. Okay, anyway, I'll stop. So faster indexing in 2012, scalability improvements in querying, and in fact, there is actually parallelism in indexing and parallelism in querying. So if you have a big honking machine, they can do things in parallel, which they didn't do before 2012. That's how they get the big scalability improvements. You can also specify how many threads you want for master merge. And remember, the master merge is the one that's the huge one that takes all the document fragments and puts them all together. And by default, it defaults to either 4 or the number of CPUs that you happen to have, if it's less than 4. So if you have a huge 32-proc machine, you can throw 16 processors at it if you want, or all 32 if you want. So, oh, there we go. 350 million documents. Not 3 or 5, but 350 million documents. I remember asking the guys in the lab, too, so you have a 350 million document database? And they said, yep. And I said, so you wouldn't want to give out a copy of it, would you? He goes, well, you got one of those little disks that's about a terabyte? He goes, we could see about that if you have the terabyte disk. And, of course, I knew he was joking at that point and didn't ask. Being me, though, I probably would have said something like, yeah, yeah, give me that one. So the index building speed is much better now because of the master merge parallelization. There was also a problem in SQL Server 2008 where the index would block queries, and the queries would block index. And so now they figured out a way around that, so they don't do that in 2012. More granular build and more granular locks held during the build. So the index doesn't block the queries at all. So programming FTS, which is probably the thing that you're more interested in wanting to do, there's 4 verbs that for programming FTS, contains table, free text, and free text table. And so I wanted to go over some of these things because I have a, because I started to write about full text search, I actually have a system test. And I thought about, oh, but I need my document article. Oh, neato. Oh, because I'm trying to connect on the dedicated admin connection, and of course I can only have one. Good for you, Bob. There we go. All right, so before I do this system test thing, I'm going to have to populate my big example that I'm going to have now, which is going to use file table. So how many people were at the file table talk yesterday? Okay, so this is what people usually do with file table. This is one of the big things that people usually do with file table now. This was their use case for it. So this one is actually a demo script that Microsoft gave me. I think they gave it out to everybody now. XP command shell. Do I really need XP command shell? I really hate to put that on, but we'll do it. Okay. See, I didn't have XP command shell on. It says change from 0 to 1. Good for me. Okay. So I'm going to make a database up called SQL Server Articles. So there's the, that's just the alter for it. Oh, I see. They're using XP command shell to see that its files directory is there. I'm pretty sure they are, but we'll do it anyway. There we go. All right. Now, I'm going to talk about semantic search later on, so I'm going to stop this now. This is all the languages that are currently supported by semantic search. And I haven't even talked about semantic search yet, so we'll get back to semantic search. But I have to build the index. So again, this is the disappointing part of the demo. Dutch is not among the languages that are supported in semantic search yet. So you have to pressure these people to like put Dutch in. Right? You get Portuguese. That's not close. And notice that apparently it must be really big in China because if you look at this, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different variations of Chinese that are supported by this. So they must be big full-text search users there, I guess. They don't like either that or they don't like Google. So, yeah. So we'll make up a database called SQL Server Articles, And by the way, I actually had a demo that worked fairly well, fairly similarly to this. It turns out, once you're a SQL Server person, you have to make up a demo for a file table and full text search. What do you normally do? You take all the white papers you happen to have on hand and put them in a directory and say, index those. Then I actually have my index for full text search. So I had one of these of my own made up, and then I went to a Microsoft presentation, and the guy from Microsoft had one made up, and he had a nice set of, you know, white papers that were better than mine. So anyway, I took his stuff. Notice that I'm using this with file stream, and I'm using non-transacted access equals full, and I'm making a directory name for this. So this is in preparation for using file table. I'm going to use file table with non-transacted access. So here we go. Okay, so I have my database there. And now that I have my database there, I'm going to create a table called SQL Server articles.documents as a file table with file table directory equals some name, document library. Okay, great. So the people that were at the file table thing, what do I do next? If I'm too lazy to type, right, which I am, I'll go in there and I'll look for SQL Server articles. There we go. And under tables right here, and under file tables right there, let's see, like, don't do that fast. There we go. So under tables and under file tables, you see the documents table. Right-click on the documents table and say, explore a file table directory. And it basically brings up a directory. Because the file table is a way to make a table in SQL Server that corresponds to a directory structure, a hierarchical directory structure. So what can I do to populate my table now? I have this empty table and an empty directory structure here. Well, let's just drag and drop the files in. Okay, so we've got them from here. I want to... never mind. I'll just use one. So anyways, I have this in temp. There we go. And I have something called SQL Server white papers, and we'll copy those, go back a few levels, and we'll just paste those in. There. So I am populating my table as I speak with 115 items. That was easy, no? And I'm sure everybody has a list of white papers someplace at home. You can do this to your own white papers, or you can use theirs. So this is going to take a while because it's going to populate all of these things. And then, of course, because it's auto-index, it's going to auto-index everything as well. So we'll let that sort of crank for a while and go back to the slides. He said, there we go, go back to the slides. And so once we've got that set up, what I'm going to use is I'm going to use that with the new features and also use this to show you some of the old features and do some performance analysis of some of the old features. Because in this release of Full Text Search, one of the things they do that was very well hidden and not at all documented is they provide the Full Text Search query plan. Not the Full Text Search query plan like you'd see in a regular query plan, because the Full Text Search part of that query plan shows up as a table valued function. And the table valued function parameters are always the same. So that's fairly useless as far as looking to see what full text search is doing. But what they'll give you is an XML search tree for the full text search query plan. So you can actually see some better information about the query plan. We'll do that. So we'll do this with contains, contains table, free text, or free text table. And it says here language specific or multi-language search. In your search, you have to specify a language. Now, if you don't want to specify a language, you can also specify language zero. But language zero basically doesn't know about any languages. So a better way to do a multi-language search is to do a union query between a search on this with English, union all, search on this with Dutch as the language. And then you have a multi-search because you have all of them in the same query. So that's the way you would do a multi-language search with full-text search. Some database objects disallow full-text search, like an index view would disallow full-text search. You can't make a full-text index on an index view. And by the way, you can only make one full-text index per table. So if you have more than one column that you want indexed, that's fine, too. You just specify that at index time. Okay, so how are we doing over here? Okay. Oh, well, it's the file system, isn't it? Okay, document library. Oh, they're there. Okay, cool. Now, of course, there is a lot of documents in here, and so what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to do a select star from documents because that would probably read every document and it'd come up with every document in binary, and we probably don't want to do that. But what we can do is say select top 10 star from documents, And we'll see that this is just a normal file table like we saw yesterday. I better be in the right directory. Did I actually put all that stuff in master? No, I didn't. Goodness. We hope not. I don't think master can take full text search. There we go. Okay. So notice the first one over here has a file stream of null. That's a directory, right, row. And the rest of them are actually file rows, where this is the actual file content. Notice that they also specify, or they keep the name, and they also keep this path locator, and the path locator is a hierarchy ID, like I talked about yesterday. So basically what I've just made is I've just made myself a library that I can use to search all the SQL Server white papers I want to search. And so let's do some sort of obvious searches. And this was, again, off my system test. So where is the system test here? There. Okay. There we go. So we'll use the SQL Server articles for that, which is how we got here. And then what I want to do is I want to select the FTS keywords. I don't think I'm going to do this. Okay, because it'll actually show me every keyword. Remember how we looked at the raw index before? Well, you don't have to look at the raw index like we looked at it. You would only look at that if you're interested, right? They have a nice dynamic management view over top of it that lets you actually look at the index keywords and the counts and the document counts and all that. And so you don't have to do what I did, which is go decode the binary one byte at a time. Only Bob would be stupid enough to do that. So, okay. So let's do contains. So contains is the simplest one. I can say all documents, the star is all columns and where they contain data. So a single term, you would probably figure, oh, index view documents, because it is not full text indexed. It isn't. I bet I didn't put my full text indexing on yet. Brilliant. Yep, I didn't. Nice going. By the way, here when you're doing this demo for the first time, you have to stop and think some of those documents were PDF files, and so you have to go out and get the PDF iFilter from Adobe and have to install it. And once you've installed the PDF iFilter from Adobe, you can actually look and check the existing iFilters. And once you put a new iFilter on the system, you can load all the iFilters off the system. Because it's COM, all the information they need to load iFilters is in the registry. So basically, you can do this, just it's going to do a registry scan. Okay, so we don't have a full text index. Let's go put one. So full text catalog, that's fine. And a unique index, because I have to have a unique index to have a full text search index. There we go. And we'll add the search properties as well. Okay, I'm going to talk about what this is later, but I just want to index the whole thing now. And then we'll create a full text search index. So this one says, create a full text search index on SQL Server articles documents. The actual column that I went in the index is called file underscore stream. That's where the content is. And the type column, that's the column that says what type of document this is called file type. That's the one where it says .docx or .pdf. Language 1033 is US English. And I'm also going to say that I want statistical semantics on this. So this is not only going to get me the full text search index, but it's also going to get me the semantic search index. And I'm going to talk about semantic search later on in less than 32 minutes. Key index, every full text index requires a key index. And so the key index was called documents full text. And then I can specify search properties that I want to look at. And that's how I specify that. So I know I'm sort of getting ahead of myself here, but I wanted to do some simple ones before I did that. Okay, and because I didn't specify any of these, it's auto-index, which means right now all I did was run that one thing, and my machine is sort of paging itself to death, because what it's doing is it's building the entire full-text search index right now as we sit and watch. Okay, so let's see how much of it we can build. So let's go back to the test again and see if we can find out which columns contain data. Now, if we do this in the middle of building the full-text search index, it is absolutely possible that we only get some of the documents at this point. But I just sort of wanted to get through this part of the talk. There we go. So we have a bunch of them, and a bunch of them contain the word data. And with things that have to do with SQL Server articles, you could probably think they would, right? You can also search with ors and ands. So this is where contains data or SQL or record. So you could probably figure there's a lot of those. And that's fine, too. And term prefix, so you can say contains record at the beginning of the word. Somebody actually said, how do you contain record at the end of the word? And there's no way to do that, right? So we're looking for ones that start, have words that start with the word record. Well, that was easy, right, we're going to get a bunch of these. Forms of inflectional forms of record. So we would see record, we would see recording, we would see records, we would see anything that's an inflectional form of record. Since I don't have much of a thesaurus, the forms of thesaurus record would probably get me the same thing as forms of record, because I don't have anything in my thesaurus, but we'll get the same documents anyway. And then this one is rather interesting. This is new in SQL Server 2012. And I'm going to save this one for when we go to property search. But you get the idea of what you can do with these. You can actually look for certain forms of the word or the words in general. Now, this is the contains operator. There's also a contains table operator. And contains table basically just ranks the thing. So show me all the ones that have the word data in them and rank them. And notice that I should really do an order by rank in this case. Okay, and when I do that, I'll see which ones order by rank descending would be nice. Okay, and I'll see which ones have the most word datas in them. Notice all you get at this point is the key. What's the key? It's the key you use to look into the table. So you have to do an actual sort on that. I'm sorry, sort on that, a join on that to make it useful. But basically, you get a ranking with contains table. Oh, and by the way, here was a form that I didn't talk about before, is about. If you use the is about form, you get to weight your search terms from 0 to 1. And in this case, I'm saying if you use the word performance, it has a weight of 0.8. So it's twice as good as if you use the word data. And if you use the word record, that has the lowest weighting of all. So you can actually say some search terms are more important than other search terms, which is kind of cool. Okay. And next one is called free text. So what free text does was, and I thought the first time I saw full text search, this was kind of horrible. If you wanted to do an inflectional form and a thesaurus and everything else, would I have to do everything one at a time and union them all together? Well, what free text does is free text allows you to key in a phrase, or you can key in a single word. And then basically it does all of those things to the phrase. So it'll look for inflectional forms of the words in that phrase. It'll do weighting if you want it to. It will look in the thesaurus. It does everything, all the special things that contains doesn't do unless you ask it. Everybody okay with that? And of course, there's a free text table that also has a ranking. Okay, great. No sweat. So that was what I was trying to get through, whoops, when I did that demo. So that's how you program full text search with these four verbs. And we just talked about contains. I didn't do the near operator, but I did that before. Inflectional, thesaurus, and is about. Plus, you can use the logical operators. Other full text search DML I just talked about. Go. So in 2008, there's full text search integrated with the SQL Server engine. All of the relational operators can be used with the full text search operand. The filters can be applied anywhere inside the query with the full text search. And if the primary key is an integer, remember that this one, you don't have an extra doc ID map lookup. And so that basically saves you one join in your query plan. They used to call these, before 2008, they were called noise words. Now they're called stop lists. And what they're trying to do is they used to have all of these things in little bitty files on the file system because that was how Search Server used them. So in 2008, they actually moved stop list inside the engine. And you could probably guess that your stop list is an internal file. Sure. Okay, because that's our internal table. So one of the things with full text search is, you can probably guess by what I'm doing here, you put your documents in, you tell it to index them, you do some queries about it, and you take your chances. What if you want to know exactly what happens with one of these indexes, or how your search terms get parsed, or what happens if I do a contains versus a free text? So what they put in 2008 are these two nice dynamic management views to show you the keywords and keywords by document, but they also put in this nice dynamic management view called SysDMFTS Parser. SysDMFTS Parser will actually go through and look at your documents and see what it's going to match. So, you know, I have an FTS parser demo, but it goes against a different index, so let's update it to go against this index. So real quick, like, go back to FTS here. This was the FTS parser. Oh, this is the FTS parser for German. Huh. So you can actually say, I'd like the FTS parser for German for forms of inflectional. And I think I was trying to play with the compound words for this. And basically what the full text parser does is just take a set of search terms, right? It doesn't even need an index. And what it'll actually do is it'll take this keyword that you put in, it'll use the locale ID that you put in, and then it will tell you what it's going to look for. So you can, it's not a black box anymore. You can actually see what this thing is going to look for once you have it. So let's actually do that. Hopefully that's not a bad word in German. I didn't think so. There we go. So what it actually did was it went and looked for all these different words, right? And it looks for these words as exact match. Notice that it didn't do what the German people wanted, though. This is a compound word that actually, this word, I forget what this exact word means, but this word is actually a word by itself. So what they wanted it to be able to do was search for that word by itself, right? I think this has something to do with watch lamp something. Okay, but anyway, that's just because I don't know German. Somebody know that? Sorry? A watch lamp? Oh, okay. Laundry pail or something like that. Yeah, okay. So that's, yeah. I tried to find a compound word that was so compound that it had a word in the middle. Because they always go, has the thing been updated to you look for words in the middle? It's like, well, it's easy to find out, right? Just take a compound word that's big enough so that it has three words in it, which is what this is, and then look and see if they're actually searching for this thing by itself. And they're not. Notice they're searching for the first word in the compound word by itself and the last word in the compound word by itself. I'm looking at display term. Sorry, are they? Did you see that? Oh, it is Klammer? Oh, okay, so it's wash, Klammer. Oh, so this is clothespins. I know what these are. That's right. So when Mary and I went to Germany for the first time, she actually was going to do laundry in the hotel room. And so she went and got some wash and Klammer, right? And so apparently wash and Klammer pup is the clothesline that you use with clothespins or something like that. So, okay, so they are looking for it because there's a bunch of Klammer right in there. Okay, so they did do what they wanted for them this time. I wonder if they know that. Okay, I haven't been back to Germany since 2008, and maybe they don't know. I'll have to call a friend of mine and see if he knows this. Okay. So, yeah, that was the compound word that I knew about, right? So it's like, all right, let's start with that one and see if we can actually make one more compound after that. Sorry? Oh, which one? This one? What does that mean? Oh, a watch, a wristband for a watch or something? Yeah. So what was I looking for in there for the middle word? Band. Oh, okay. Oh, and so do they do that? Forms of inflectional watch band. No, only from the beginning in this one. They don't look for the word band by itself. Interesting. So this is nice because you can easily prove to people that it does what they want or it doesn't do what they want. Wow, it is getting hot in here, isn't it? Okay. Well, I just noticed everybody else was sweating. It was like, yeah, I am too. Okay, so you don't even need a database to do that. You can just use FTS parser and play to your heart's content. And by the way, you can do this and it'll use the thesaurus as well. If you use the thesaurus form of this, you can actually search for Bill Gates with the wrong spelling and have it hit the thesaurus and get the right thing. That was the other part of this demo. Okay, so full text search in 2012, they wanted to improve the query performance. And so the query performance is orders of magnitude better than it was in 2008. Ask them how many orders of magnitude. And it's like, depending on the type of corpus you have, it can be between 3 and 6 orders of magnitude faster. And I said, how'd you do that? And they said, we rewrote the search engine for it. And it's like, really? In 2012? Yeah. Well, because they were apparently getting these big customers with big document corpuses. Is it corpuses or corpi? Anyway, they were getting these big document corpuses. And these people were having 10, 15 second response time, and they couldn't afford to wait. So the worst response time is supposed to be less than 3 seconds for as many as 350 million documents, if you want to put them in there. And one of the things they did with this is called predicate folding. And predicate folding basically says if you have a contains one and contains two, they'll fold that into contains one and two. Obviously, that sounds like something you could have rewrote yourself if you knew they didn't do this in previous versions of SQL Server. So if you're using 2008, don't write contains one and contains two. right, contains one and two. Although maybe that goes along with their new engine and it only goes faster in 2012. There's also the full text search table valued function. And the full text search table valued function now in 2012 allows parallel queries, and I'll prove it to you, and then also optimizes for select top N queries. That's nice because a lot of times you don't want every document, you want the first page of them. And so that's perfect. What'd be interesting to see, and I haven't seen this one yet, I should go check it out, is if it optimizes for select with offset and count, right, offset and fetch. Because I want the second page to be fast also. Okay, but it is optimized for select top N in 2012. Now, before I run out of time here, let's talk about the new 2012 features, which are property lists. So I talked yesterday to a couple people about WinFS and how I thought this was related to WinFS somehow. And so I wanted to go back and show you my property list that I used in my demo, or actually the Microsoft demo. And I want to show you what this has to do with the property list type search. Where are they? There we go. So in 2012, there's this new thing called a search property list. So I can create a search property list, name it, and then I can add properties in here. So I'm adding a property called title with a property set GUID that's some GUID and a property ID that's 2. And I actually got these out of the books online, and I thought to myself immediately, do these GUIDs and numbers like mean anything? Or can I just use anything I want? And they do mean something. Well, then where do you look them up? Because this is actually the GUID for system.title, title of the item. This one down here would be system.author, authors of the document. And so basically you can see if you go into a Word document, let's just go into a normal like Word type document, maybe this one has one, and you click on properties, there we go, and you click on property details, there you go, in Word, you can see that there's where the title shows up and the subject show up and the tags show up. Now, riddle me this, people that are Windows experts, how do you search on those things in Windows? Right, because you could put all those extended properties in all you want. But you'd have to go to the details and you'd have to search all of them. But suppose I want to just search on the title, can I do that in Windows? Oh yeah, you can just get a property from it and search on it?
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a way to search on just the specific property in the specific file. Okay, good. Because I didn't think they had that before. So when I went to look at these properties, I looked all over the place to figure out where to get these property GUIDs and property descriptions and property IDs. Because if I was going to add my own properties, I couldn't figure out where these showed up. And by the way, this is in the slide, so you don't have to go look for it forever. And I think they actually put this in the books online, too. Where did these things actually show up? So let's bring up Explorer. And I think I had this sitting in Explorer, so since I typed it in, it should actually be in the drop-down bar. There we go. And it appears someplace, yeah, it's about the fourth thing in the drop-down bar. And when I look at these, this is the standard set of Windows properties. And notice this is way more complex than I ever thought it was. The properties that we were looking at were the properties called system, right? So there are a set of system properties down here. There we go. And you can have, whoops, all these different system extended properties. There they all are. And so there's a million of these things you can do. And so let's look at author and see where they got the GUID for author. So author says, there we go. So the format ID is that particular GUID and the property ID is equal to 4. So if you want to search for any kind of properties you want, all you have to do is copy in the GUID, copy in the ID, and you're there. Now, when I went to this page, I swear, when I went to this page about a year ago, when SQL Server 2012 first came out, CTP1, this page said on it, right back here, it said WinFS Windows properties. And that was how I got the idea that this was somehow obliquely related to WinFS. Notice they fixed it since then. It doesn't say WinFS because I posted a blog entry on this. And I said, you know, I bet this came from WinFS. And one of the guys on the SQL Server team was in an airport once, and he came up and said, yeah, you're right, it did. All this stuff came from the WinFS team. So the premise of this was to be able to search on extended properties and also search at other parts of the document at the same time. But you said they have this in Windows, so I'm not as impressed anymore. Right? I thought that was the entire reason for WinFS. And notice they have properties that go along with everything. And so I thought, this is great. I can have my own property search application right out of SQL Server. I can put photos in there so I can search my GPS photos. I can put music in there so I can search my music. And the only problem is when you look at the set of documents that Full Text Search supports, it doesn't support music or photos. And so I said to those guys, you have to have iFilters for music and photos. Otherwise, this thing is fairly, you know, you're talking about Word documents and Excel spreadsheets. And they said, yeah, we got all the ones we could from Windows. And I said, in Windows, I can see those properties. I can't see them in your tool at all. It doesn't index them. You can buy third-party iFilters, but the ones I found only worked on 32-bit systems. And remember, since this is COM, if you have a 64-bit database, you have to have 64-bit components. And so they didn't work on this database. Anyway, that's what property search is. So now, along with these property lists, so there's the property list and there's the GUIDs right there, and you know where to get more of them. Now that I've got this associated with the index, come on, Bob. Now that I've got this associated with the index, I can say, select where it contains property, there's the column I'm searching, file stream, title, data, or SQL. So data or SQL has to be anywhere in the title. And it can find that just fine. So these are the ones with data or SQL in the title. Notice it's interesting because apparently the title doesn't always agree with the document name. This is 2008 statistics, so I bet we could go find that file and see what the title is, but apparently it ain't 2008 statistics because it doesn't have the word SQL or data in it. Either this or this full text search is lying at me, but I'm pretty sure I've checked these out. It doesn't. Okay. And this is, again, the new NEAR operator, but we've seen that before. So the new SQL Server 2012 features that I was talking about, we've got 13 minutes, that's why I'm rushing this along, is the fact that it's faster, it can deal with different bigger document corpuses, they rewrote the internals of it so that it runs faster and the queries run in parallel, you can make the master merge run in parallel, and the two consumer features are the new NEAR operator and the property-based search. Everybody okay with that? I haven't talked about semantic search yet, so I want to talk about semantic search. Okay. And by the way, you can troubleshoot properties if the properties aren't coming out what you think they are by putting on trace flag 7603. That's a documented trace flag, so it's not like it's a secret trace flag that nobody's supposed to know. Bear in mind that if you put in trace flag 7603, it's going to have a really wordy SQL Server log. I once put that on, and I watched my computer crank for a long time, and then I looked at the SQL Server log, and there's all these million, 7603 messages up. So this is not something you'd use lightly. You'd use it for a problem resolution. Okay, search property list. So you make a search property list. You can make one that's empty, or you can copy an existing search property list. But you can't create a search property list with properties already in it unless you copy an existing one. And there are no existing ones that come with the system for you to copy. So you'd have to copy one of your own. Then you alter the search property list to add properties. And again, this is the place where you go to look at all of the properties. But remember, the only data types that you can look for properties on are the ones that they support in full text search. Okay. And then you associate this with the full text search index. In the create or alter index, you say which property list you want to use. Okay, enough about properties. We already talked about the NEAR predicate as well. So I want to do two more things before we're done. One is to do semantic search, and the other one is to show you where the query plan is for full text search. So what full text search does is it searches on the content of the document, right? What words appear, what words appear that are the same as other words, what words are near other words. I don't want to search on those. What I want to search on is the meaning of the documents. So when you go up to Google or somebody to do a search, I'm sorry, Bing or somebody to do a search, right, you'd put your keyword in Bing. I actually use Bing now. I figured I know where Google is if I want it. It wasn't too bad. So I used it when a lot of my students started to work on the Bing team. And it's like, well, I better use Bing in front of them, shouldn't I? So anyway, so what this is about is a way that they have decided that people search for documents. And they've done Microsoft Research type research to figure out that this is the way they do. So what they normally do is you go search by keyword, and then you get back a screen or two screens worth of document. Now, what you don't want to do, especially if they're big documents, is read every single document that comes back, right? You want to sort of look at the document, and you want a synopsis of what's in that document, right? You want, if there's an abstract that comes along with that document, that would be nice. So you start by searching by keyword, and then you want a sort of synopsis of it. And so the synopsis is what they call most relevant key phrase or document summary. And so what they do is they actually go through for semantic search and they come up with the most important key phrases. Now, how do they come up with the most important key phrases? Well, I'll show you what this is about. So it finds the closest documents to that document. So this is search, find the most relevant key phrases in the documents that come up. So first 10 documents, show me the relevant key phrases in those. Then once I've got those, show me documents that are like those documents. How do you mean by like those documents? Well, ones that have the important key phrases that are similar to the important key phrases in that document. Everybody okay with that? And I won't say key phrase again because right now they only do one, right? They talk about n-grams all the time, but they're really doing only unigrams in this release, one keyword at a time. Because I said to them, where's all your multi-word key phrases that I read about? And they said, we only did unigrams for this release. I thought, okay, fine. That's a nice way to say we only have one, right? So search, find the most relevant key phrases, find the closest documents by relevance, and then find the reason why you think they're close. So that's kind of cool, right? You do a four-step search, which is similar to what you want to do against a document corpus that is part of your business. Now, you could also use this to do other type of searches. For example, so I take resumes, and I take resumes in XML format, say, right? I'm the accounts, personnel department. And so I've gotten this nice resume of somebody, and I hired them, and they were a great hire, right? There's people, I want a million of these people. So what do? I take my resume, and I go out, and I say, find resumes that are like this resume. And then once I've got resumes that are like this resume, I say, why are those resumes similar? Because they may be similar because I used to know people that had resumes that would put every keyword in the book in their resume so that it would show up in anybody's search, right? So you don't want it just because they have the word SQL 50 times. They have the word SQL next to the word server next to the word database or something like that. Is everybody okay with that concept? Okay. So that's the semantic search. Now, what they do for semantic search, and the reason why we couldn't just cruft Dutch in, which is what I would like to do for this demo, is that they ship with SQL Server a semantic search database, and you actually have to install it and register it with the system. It's the one over here called SemanticsDB, right under Sample USA, SemanticsDB. And the SemanticsDB is provided by Microsoft. So, of course, I went to look at the internal tables in the SemanticsDB database. And it turns out there is only two internal tables, one that says what languages they support, and another one that has a file for every language, a table for every language that they support. And so I thought to myself, what's in these tables at all? So I took out my internal thing, Looker, and I looked in there and see what was there. And it turns out that what they've done for every language, and so unfortunately you can't make up your own SemanticsDB. I said, could I make my own up? And they said, you'd better not. Is that they've taken and categorized which phrases occur most frequently in the language. So what semantic search does is it's not because you have a phrase in your document that's a common phrase. It's because you have a phrase in your document that's an uncommon phrase that matches an uncommon phrase in another document. Everybody okay with that? So it doesn't mean that everybody's looking for the word SQL and there's a million usage of the word SQL in your document. It means that you have an uncommon phrase like SQL Server or SQL Server Database that's not in every document, but is in your document and another one you're comparing them to. So they look for uncommon phrases. By the way, the semantics database is hard-coded, right? You don't change it. It doesn't learn. There's no learning involved in this at all. And there's a special name for this called document, goodness, I forget the name of it, but document distribution in the, keyword distribution in the language. So that's what this is based on. And a lot of this is common research. I actually looked it up by looking in Wikipedia about how they did this stuff. Okay, so that's what semantic search is looking at. It's looking at the semantic database. It actually works with two indexes. So it uses two internal indexes. One is called the tag index. And the tag index uses a variation of an algorithm called TF-IDX. And so what, TF-IDX? TF-IDF. And TF-IDF is term frequency inverse document frequency. And so what they're looking for is, of course, the frequency of the term in the document versus the frequency of the usage of the term in that language. right? That's what the semantic database provides, the frequency of the term usage in that particular language. Am I talking gibberish here? Does this sound okay? Okay, this is the first time I've done this in front of an audience, so it better be clear. I think I know what I'm talking about, but I want you to know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, there's no point, right? Okay, so you can actually look up TFIDF, which sucks because I posted these slides already. You could look up TFIDF in Wikipedia, and you could see what this is. Now, apparently, their big special sauce that's in that nobody else uses is that every time you put in a new document in everybody else's index, they have to calculate the inverse term frequency again, right? The term frequency in my document, but every time I'm adding a new document, the inverse document frequency changes, right? So instead of using an inverse document frequency that's based on the set of documents they have, they use the frequency of term use in the language. Their semantics DB is their secret sauce to this, right? It's the one that goes, and they've done algorithmic, verification that this is just as good as the other one, but this scales much better than the other one, because you don't have to calculate every row every time you add a new row, right? They're not looking for the terms in that document corpus. They're looking for the term usage in the entire language itself. Okay. Now, once they've got those, then they've gotten a set of key phrases that appear in your document, which were the most relevant key phrases, and they use something called a document similarity index. And a document similarity index, you can look this up in Wikipedia too, is kind of interesting because what this does is it takes each set of keywords as a vector, and basically it does vectorization of these. So say my document number one had a vector of keywords that look like this, and their document number two had a vector of keywords that look like this. The cosine of that angle is actually an indication of which documents are most closely related. Right, the one with the smallest cosine is the one that's the closely related one. So they basically map out these unigrams and then compare the cosine similarity. And again, this only supports unigrams in SQL Server 2012. Sound reasonable? If you don't believe me, you can actually go in with the internal tables and look at the term tag index and the document similarity index. They're just called TI and DSI. Okay, so what can you do with this now that you know how the internals of it works? Only Bob would care, right? So you install this, you build the index. It's done as a part of the full-text search build. And then to program it, you get three table-valued functions. And the three table-valued functions are semantic key phrase table, which is basically the key phrases by column and by document. So let's do that. So it looks like I'm going to get to the end again, and I'm going to go over again if I don't do this fairly quickly. Okay, so this is the semantic key phrase table. So you say select whatever it is you want to select from semantic key phrase table, and again, this is a table valued function, inner join documents on stream ID equals document key and order by score. So you can see that the most common scores are for things like SQL or TCPIP. The common scores are the ones, the scores are obviously from 0 to 1. These are the words that appear most frequently in the documents that appear least frequently in the language. Everybody okay with that? That's the term frequency document, inverse document frequency thing. Okay, that doesn't tell me a whole lot. What I want to do is I want to get phrases for a specific document. So I can use this semantic key phrase table function and pick out a document that's called datacompression.pdf and get the key phrases for data compression where they think are their relevant phrases. So in that case, the data compression document says that the most relevant phrases, amazingly or not, right, is the phrases that have to do with compressed, compression, CPU, data, page, table, SQL, and so forth. Right? Notice we're only down to the 0.9 ones. And notice that no, this one does not do fuzzy matching based upon the fact that compressed is different for, or the same as the word compression. Right? They don't do that kind of folding at all. It's a direct comparison. Okay, so now I've got what particular phrases are in there that they think are relevant. Let's find documents that are similar to the data compression white paper. And I'm not going to have time to do what I was going to do. I have 1 minute left to go. There we go. So this finds the documents that are most similar to the data compression white paper. And there's the ones that are the 10 most similar. I think it did a top 10 here. The 10 most similar ones, which are pretty interesting. If you look at them, they're fairly close, right? Scale up with SQL Server. Well, I bet compression is a way to scale up. Okay, so now that we got the ones that are similar, the last thing I want to do is I want you to tell me why they're similar. So I take this document right here and this document right here, and you're to tell me what the most common phrases are that the reason why you picked the fact that these two documents were similar. There we go. So in this case, amazingly enough, the word that they thought was the most similar between the two documents was SQL. What a surprise, right? I bet people use SQL all the time in the language too, which is why it shows up as an uncommon keyword. So again, I actually asked them, could I have a semantics database for specific professions, like database administrator or lawyer or doctor or something? And they said, no, you can't do that right now. Why do you always get ahead of yourself, right? Okay, but I thought it was a good question to answer, right? So what did we do here? We did a four-step process. We searched by keyword, then we figured out what were the relevant keywords for that document, most relevant keywords, I'm over. And then we figured out what were the documents that were closest to those, and then we figured out why. Everybody okay with that? Now, there's one more thing that I want to show you with 11 seconds, and somebody's going to come up and kick me off. But when you look at the show plan for any of these things, right, for the semantic search or the full-text search, you get nothing, right, in the show plan. You get a show plan that says full-text TVF, and then it has some kind of number coming out of it which says how many documents matched. That's totally useless. So in SQL Server 2012, you can actually go in with extended events. So I'll go into the extended event function. I'm just going to set one up. I'm not going to trace it. So I'll make myself a new extended event session, right? You've all heard about the new trace. And so in the extended event session, let's just do the new session. It comes up, and I'm going to make a new session. Come on. There we go. And I'm going to make a new session called Foo because I'm lazy. And whatever template I'm using, that's fine. And in fact, oh, now it's flickering at me. Let's do this just for the fun of it. There we go. We'll do that one. Okay, so now what it's going to do is it's going to come up with all the events, and they've already chosen some. I don't like that. Let's start with an empty one. There we go. So we'll start with an empty template right here. So blank. Okay. Then we get to choose which events we want. Now it turns out here's the new trace. Remember how many events in the old trace? Right? See where the scroll bar is in that thing? That's how many new events that there are. So if we go down here, this is how many new ones you get. So people that like to look at trace forever, oh, you have way more time to do that. You can have way more fun. All right, but let's look at the ones that are concerned with full text search. So if I type in FTX there, oh, that doesn't work. Try full. Yeah, you're full of it. There you go. Okay, there's full text search. So what you want to do is you want to look at the event called full text query exec stats. Full text query event stats will give you the plan for the full text search part of the query. Now, it's a plan like you've never seen before, with iterators like you've never seen before, but some of them are pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to look at properties and so forth, right? I don't have time to show you one of those, so I'll have to say that I wrote a blog entry on this because I was so impressed. So have a look at the blog entry. Try this yourself. It basically comes out as big chunk of XML, and see if you can decode what the full-text search query plan is. In fact, they have such a nice full-text search query plan. You see right under it, full-text query plan recompile. So they're actually going to recompile the full-text search query plan if your documents change, which is kind of cool, I thought. So they're actually acting like this is a real SQL query with real compilers and plans and stuff like this. Very cool. Okay, so to finish up, I talked about full-text search, the features in 2008, the features in 2012, semantic search, how that worked, what the point of it was. And in the next release, they're going to have more languages, and they're also going to have, hopefully, standardized semantic databases so that the word SQL doesn't always come out at the top in my collection. But you can do this right now with FileTable. You can do exactly the same thing that I do. You have this, and the files are out there on the internet, and you just drag them in, and you have a search over top of whatever kind of documents that you want to. Questions? Well, I'll answer questions in the front just in case the person after me is upset at this point. So thank you for coming, and I got one more talk to do today if you guys are going to be around at 5 or 5:30 or something on the data tier applications. So this is one that has caused a lot of furor lately, so I want to show you what the point of data tier applications are. If you say data tier application to a DBA, they'll always go, database, you know, data tier application, but they actually have a really good usage of them. So thank you for coming, and I appreciate you staying. All these things will be up on the SQL Skills website if you want to use them yourself.